Good morning. I'm Steve Bacon. I'm a member here at the church. Welcome you on this kind of hot and humid morning, but we're glad you're with us. Whatever brings you here today, be it custom, crisis, or curiosity, you're welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. If you don't know much about who we are and what we do, if you're new to us, we do have this visitor's packet brochure. You can find it certainly in the back part of the church. Certainly ask an usher or someone else to help you direct you to that. Chock full of information of things that we do, opportunities for you to be part of this congregation and church. Also in your bulletin this morning, if you haven't picked one up, you can get one of these yellow slips. It does a couple things for us. On the front side of it, lets us know you're here, so you can fill that out. And on the back side of it is our prayer request. Later on during the service, our ushers will come forward, and you can certainly hand that to them, and we can have a prayer time as a community of faith. If you're wanting to know how the worship is going to go this morning, in addition to being in the bulletin, it also appears up on the screens, both in the front and the back. And if you do have a smartphone and you have the QR code reader, you can go ahead and click on that. And inside the pews, you'll find the QR code that you can click on. And once again, that'll take you to it. Also, to help you out this morning, if you need child care and restrooms, they're out the door to my right, to your left. You can follow the arrows back there. In our gathering room, which is right behind the sanctuary, once again, out that door, either way, back out. Please join us afterwards. The time is certainly fellowship, kind of catch up on our week and get ready for the next week. And as a reminder, we have a safe sanctuary policy. So if you have children, we'd like them always to be accompanied by an adult when they leave the sanctuary. And with that, let us continue our service.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Oh, good answers. So I'm Pastor Alicia. I'm the pastor at University United Methodist Church, and I am so glad you're here. Welcome. This morning, we are starting something new. We are starting our new series, and it is called Practice Resurrection. Resurrection means to come to life in a new way. On May 14th, the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, launched with a 40-day direct action campaign of moral fusion to awaken our nation of the four evils of systematic racism, poverty, ecological devastation, and the war economy. Six members of our congregation have already taken part in some of these actions. Moral fusion means this is not a single-issue movement, but a movement that calls for the release of all those suffering oppression in our nation. Martin Luther King Jr. started this campaign shortly before his death 50 years ago, and it has been resurrected by new leaders to address the issues of our time. This weekend is a time we recognize the sacrifice of those who have given their lives for the country in the name of peace. Nick Wea, which I'm super excited about, will be bringing our sermon today and share his beliefs about how the sacrifice Jesus made at the hands of an oppressive government of his time provides an example and a calling for us to truly love our neighbor as ourselves. And this theme, our theme song will be Somebody's Hurting My People. And it's a rally song from the Poor People's Campaign. I want to be clear. You don't have to be all in when it comes to the Poor People's Campaign. We are just drawing from it because the Christian message of compassion and love of neighbor it brings. So we have a video to teach our theme song. So let's see it.
This song that we're about to learn is a song that's entitled Somebody's Hurting My Brother. Now, this song was actually born in a town hall meeting around coal ash. And the meeting came about because Duke Energy was spilling coal ash into poor black and brown and poor white neighborhoods. After hearing testimony after testimony of people who were impacted physically and mentally by the coal ash, this song came as an inspiration of those testimonies. So I'll call to you, somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on, and your response is, far too long. Yes, it's gone on.
Far too long.
It's gone on
far too long.
Somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
Now the end is, and we won't be silent anymore. We'll say that together.
And we won't be silent anymore.
Okay? And so we'll try the rehearsal version, which goes,
oh, somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
Yes, it's gone on
far too long.
I'll tell you it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
Together,
and we won't be silent anymore.
Good morning. My name is Dale Fryer, or my kids call me Mr. Dale, and I am your liturgist this morning. Today, we remember those whose sacrifice changed our world, from the freedom riders of the civil rights movement to those who stormed the beaches in Normandy, from Stonewall to Seneca Falls, from Gettysburg to Selma's Edmund Pettus Bridge. Our call to worship this morning is drawn from a Beth A. Richardson poem entitled Memorial Day. Let's stand together. Leave flowers at gravesites, on street corners, and at memorials. Let all know that they are not forgotten. Their presence in this world changed it, touched it, marked it in a unique way. In love, in respect, in gratitude, amen. Those we remember today gave all they had to make the world a better place. Please remain standing and commit with me to making this world a safe place for every person as we sing Welcome, displayed on the screen. Let's walk together for a while and ask where we begin to build a world where love can grow and hope can enter in, to be the hands of healing and to plant the seed of peace.
singing, welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. Welcome, the love of God to share, 'cause all of us are welcome here. All are welcome in this place. Let's talk together of a time when we will share a feast, where pride and power zeal to serve the lonely and the least, and joy will set the table as we join our hands to pray, singing, welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. Are welcome, the love of God to share, 'cause all of us are welcome here. All are welcome in this place. Let's dream together of the day when earth and heaven are one, a city built of love and light, the new Jerusalem, where our mourning turns to dancing, every creature lifts its voice, crying, welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome, the love of God to share, 'cause all of us are welcome here. All are welcome in this place.
In a moment, we will greet one another and share Christ's peace. Keep in mind, when you hear the music, that will be your signal to head back to your seats. Now take a moment and share the love of Christ with each other with a handshake, a fist bump, or a high five.
Will the children please come forward and join me up front if they are able and comfortable? Peace. Yes, I have them now.
God is speaking, God is speaking. Do you hear? Do you hear?
I'll get it.
Trust in you will hear God. Trust in you will hear God. God is love. God is love. God is speaking, God is speaking. Do you hear? Do you trust and you will hear God if you want to hear God. God is love. Go away.
Does anyone recognize that tune? Have you heard that tune before? No? Maybe? Yes? Do you know it? No? Where is Thumpkin? Where is Thumpkin? What is the rest of it? What's the rest of it? Do you know? I know. Oh, you know Frère Jacques. Frère Jacques, Frère Jacques, God, dormez-vous? Right? Dormez-vous? Do you know that? You don't know either of them. Yes, you know, sort of. Okay. Well, this is a song that my mom used to sing to me, both of them. Where is Thumpkin? And I can't remember. I don't remember if he says, here I am, or what he says. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about is this song that is familiar to many, not all, and how it says, God is speaking. So the song that we sang as you were coming forward is, God is speaking. How do you think we can listen for God's voice or God's presence? What do you think? Do you have an idea? Yes? What is it? How would you hear, how do you listen for God?
Bah.
You just didn't say bah, and then you know? Yes. Nice. All right. You have another idea?
When we're praying.
Yeah, when we're praying. Yeah, not only talk, but also listen. Yes. Oh, you have another idea.
Baby.
I think I know where we're going with this. Yes. So up here, can you see back? Oh, you have an idea. Yes.
Close your eyes and listen.
Yes. Close your eyes and listen. Yes. So I have a, what do you call it, an image. There we go. And whole body listening. So your brain is thinking. That might mean you need to close your eyes. Your eyes are looking or closed so you can listen really good. Your ears are hearing. Your body is safe. Your hands are calm. Your voice is soft or maybe even not working so you can listen. And you have empathy and your feet are still. That's one way where maybe your whole body to listen for God speaking. And sometimes God speaking isn't a real voice. Sometimes it's just a feeling inside so that you know that, oh, wait a minute, that must be God telling me, even though I don't hear it, I feel that I need to do something or not do something. So any thoughts or questions on this topic? Just listening for God and God speaking. All right, will you pray with me? Holy God, we are so grateful that you are still speaking. Help us to be good listeners, listeners with our whole body, so that when you tell us something, even if we don't hear it, we just feel it, we will listen and we will obey. So be with us today as we remember again that God is speaking. And I pray this in your many names. Amen. All right, and so you can go sit back with whoever brought you today. Amen, choir. Each week during the Poor People's Campaign 40 Days of Direct Action, we receive a litany, which I consider almost a prayer of confession, that addresses issues connected to the campaign. The litanies are both about educating ourselves and committing ourselves to doing something about it. While not everyone chooses to participate in direct action, the goals of the campaign are certainly compatible with our Christian teaching and remind us of the work that needs to be done. We are including these litanies as a part of our prayers. You will find the litany as an insert in green in your bulletin. We're not going to have this on the screen. After the litany, the ushers will collect your prayer requests to be read aloud as a part of our prayer time. So please join Dale in reading responsively.
We stand at a crucial moment in our nation's history. We have fewer voting rights today than we did 50 years ago. 23 states have passed racist voter suppression laws since 2010. Will we be a people who protect the rights of some at the expense of others? Or will we be a moral people who demand justice for all? We stand at a crossroads in our nation's history. 340,000 immigrants were removed or deported in 2016. Will we separate families, build walls and detention centers, and continue to scapegoat, punish, and divide? Or will we dismantle systems of oppression and violence? We believe that the power of our government derives from us, the people, for the purpose of providing for the general welfare and protecting the human rights of all. We know that 13 states refused to expand Medicaid, and 25 states have laws that prevent cities from passing minimum wage laws. We denounce any oppression and violence in our communities, especially in our indigenous communities. Native American children have the highest poverty rate of any racial group in the U.S. Over 200,000 Native Americans and Alaskan Natives lacked access to complete plumbing. We know that we must seek justice together. When we come to understand that all of life is connected, that my well-being is connected to your well-being, that my rights are connected to your rights, only then can we become the beloved community. Amen.
let us get ready for a continued time of prayer. Breathe in and breathe out. Let the Holy Spirit envelop you so that you are ready for all that God is saying. We'll have a period of silent prayer followed by the Lord's Prayer. Speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. And let us begin by listening. Please join me now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Bible gives us brief glimpses of God's relationship with the Hebrew people, Jesus' ministry, and the life of the early church. These ancient messages still speak to us today when we understand them in the context of our times. Please stand in body or in spirit and join me in singing Deep in the Shadows of the Past.
Deep in the shadows of the past, far out from settled lands, some nomads traveled with their God across the desert sands. The dawning hope of humankind by them was sensed and shown, a promise calling them ahead, a future yet unknown. While others vowed to change as gods, they met a mystery, invisible without a name. I am what I will be. And by their tents, around their fires, in story, song, and law, they praised, remembered, handed on a past that promised more. From Exodus to Pentecost, the promise changed and grew. While some remembering the past recorded what they knew, or with their letters and laments, their prophecy and praise, recovered, kindled, and expressed new hope for changing days. For all the writings that survived for leaders long ago, who sifted, copied, and preserved the Bible that we know, give thanks and find its story yet, our promise, strength, and call. The model of emerging faith, alive with hope. for all.
Please be seated. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This reading is on page 126 in the New Testament section of the Bibles in your pew, if you'd like to follow along. I am reading from the Common English Bible. Nicodemus comes to see Jesus in the dark of night and hears words that befuddle him. Jesus is offering a new way to live. Listen. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do those miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it is not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Before I start, I'd like to thank Pastor Alicia for this opportunity and the church. And I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Nicolo Weyer. If most of you guys haven't met me, I've been going to this church for almost 12 years now. I was basically raised and lived in this church almost. And they helped my family out a lot. And they showed me at a young age what the works of God are, and how as Christians we could help each other through the struggle. Growing up as a child, I was one of 11 kids my mom and dad had. My dad was a loving man and a hardworking dad, and my mom was a loving mom and a hardworking mom. My dad would work 50 or 60 hours a week to make sure our family will have what we had. Even though we struggled, he made the struggle less. And with the help of God, the struggle became even more less. Every Sunday morning, my dad would wake us up and tell us to get ready for church. Even though we hated it, and as a young kid, we just wanted to play and have fun, he woke us up and did everything in his power to make sure we got the taste of God early on and knew God from a young age. And then, ever since that, until I turned 13, I really had a feeling for what God was. And then when I turned 13, something just drastic happened that made me question my faith and made me question my dad. At that age, I found out that my dad was having an affair. No kid wants to know that, even though we see it on TV and society makes it normal. No kid nor mom wants to go through that. And then 3 months later, I found out that the lady he had an affair with was pregnant. My dad having another child with someone that wasn't my mom got me outraged. I started to question God, and I also asked him, how can this happen? A loving and caring man who goes to church and does everything in the name of God can be corrupted by sin. At 13 years old, you really don't have a saying on what your parents do in their life. I really couldn't question what my dad was doing because I'm only 13 and he's my dad. He had power over me no matter what. But as time went on, I started to get the tensions built up in me. I started acting more aggressively towards my family and towards my fellow siblings. Not because I'm that type of person, but because I was still questioning God on how can he let this be. Trying to find answers, I didn't know where to go. The world we live in makes it so hard as a young Christian growing up that you should just go and talk about your faith. After a while of that going through, I got used to it, but I knew in my heart that I wasn't really used to it. I wanted to see something change, and I had to get answers. As I started high school, I was getting older and started to realize what I wanted to do, and I realized that God was shaping me into the person he wanted me to be. So one day, as a freshman in high school, I had enough courage to ask my dad, why would you let that happen? How can you let sin get to you? My dad's response was, we all make mistakes and we're all sinners. Nobody's perfect. But what he thought was a simple thing that everyone casually does turned into something much deeper and something that he couldn't find a way to break out of it. Yet when my dad told me that, I personally couldn't feel his apology no matter what he said afterwards. Kind of made me cold to my dad, but I still had to remember who my dad was. Maybe I started thinking, was I just so lost that I couldn't accept or I didn't believe more enough to trust God and his plan? A year into high school and spending more time on with my dad, who was at that point my greatest teacher, I realized three things I wanted to do with my life. Number one was that I wasn't going to be like my dad. I'm sad to say, I admired his hard work, but I just didn't want to be corrupted by sin like he was. It's not good. No woman should feel that in their life, and no kids should have to see what I felt, or have to see or feel what I felt. Number two, I was going to stop questioning God and realize that no man is perfect. As hard as it felt realizing that, it felt comforting knowing that I can forgive my dad on that. After that, I started trusting God and praying more because I knew he was the one that was there with me through the struggle. God kept me company. He was there with my mom when she found out. She was there with my mom when she found out that my dad was having another kid. He was also there with me and my siblings as we tried to grasp the news, and he was also there with my dad. Just talking to him, either alone or every night by the bedside, made things feel more comforting. No matter where I went, God was there. I couldn't outrun God. I realized I had to embrace everything he had to offer. At 15, I started growing my faith and building on it more. I got involved with a nonprofit community-based organization on the north side named Yeshua Restoration Ministry, which is run by Louis Vinciguerra and his wife, Annie. One of the reasons I joined was because of soccer. Lou Lou wasn't just only a community leader, but a soccer coach. A lot of my fellow immigrant friends played soccer for Lou, and we all played together on the high school soccer team. And everyone on the north side that played soccer or was an immigrant knew who Lou was and knew what he did in the community. Lou had a way of doing his thing for us to be eligible to play soccer or attend practice for the upcoming weeks. We had to make sure that we was 1 hour of community service ahead of the amount that we're supposed to have. Every season, the total of community service hours would range from 15 to 20 hours. At first, I didn't get the point of what the community service was, but then as time went on, Lou taught us that we should give back and that everyone could sacrifice an hour each week. We have so many and so many goals to use, so why not just put one good hour for the grace of God? Lou was a religious man, him and his wife. Although we played soccer and were from different countries, Lou always welcomed us into his house to have a discussion about God, and we'll also pray for each other's families. Lou made sure as young men growing up on his team that we all had a passion to serve. Whether was it to serve God or to serve the community, we'll both be giving back for a bigger reason. With me being a churchgoer at such a young age, I seek Lou for help. And through him, he mentored me into the person I am. He taught me to give back and be thankful. And there is no better joy than to helping others who can't help themselves or those in need. Since I've been with Yeshua Restoration Ministry and Lou Vincigero, I clocked in 80 plus hours of community service and 55 hours of paid community service. Now, as I was moving from my sophomore year to my junior year, I started getting more curious on how to serve God after being inspired by Lou. At our high school, they had a Muslim club where Muslim students went and prayed every Friday as Juma prayer. It kept tight together in the community in high school. Now at this time, as a junior, I had a teacher named Mr. Procopio, who was a proud Christian and publicly announced his faith to his students no matter what they will say. I felt relieved knowing that there's a proud Christian teacher in my high school. I also had a friend named Jesus who had Mr. Procopio a year prior before I did. And they kind of had a connection. With that connection being so good and me being able to sense the presence of God in high school, Jesus and I, who have been friends for a very long time, decided to ask Mr. Procopio about an idea we had, and that idea was to start a Christian club at Nottingham High School. We started a Christian club, and Jesus and I, with seven other people, and Mr. Procopio helped run the club for our junior and senior years of high school. I felt honored to be chosen by God out of the 1,200 students that went to Nottingham High School for us to be among the eight people to serve God's will in a school setting was truly a blessing, one that I'm very thankful for. As me seeing that blessing, I wanted to build on my faith more and more and become stronger through God. So I seeked out Mr. Procopio's valuable mentorship. Even when he was busy in grading tests, or grading tests or homeworks or setting up his teacher duties. He always had time to answer questions I would have on about God or faith or how to be an example of a true Christian through high school. Even though he did not only do this for me, but he did this for the rest of the club and other curious kids in the school who had questions about God and wanted to expand their knowledge. So throughout high school, I had a lot of great memories, but no memory could beat that of serving God, and no feeling could have been greater, no matter what. After high school, I wonder on how can I help God more. But at the time being, at 18, I had a taste of what the grace of God was like and how the Holy Spirit felt like, and I wanted more. After a while, I became close friends with Mr. James Yule, who I met through Lou Ventigera a year prior. And he was a recent, at that time when I first met him, he was a student at SU, but now he's a graduate. He graduated from SU and is a teacher at Salem High, teaching ESL to fellow immigrant kids. James runs the shop, which stands for Syracuse House of Prayer. It goes on every Thursday night at 1312 Madison Ave, and is run by James Yu and Justin Palmatier. Shop is a place where you can go and meet fellow Christians or just go and have a place to sit and be with God with some good music. For me, it was more than that. I seen it as a support system in my faith journey. Over the course of 7 months, I became close friends with James and the people who lived at that address. James, Charlie, Justin, and Nolan, who were all students in college, but all shared the same love and desire for God, no matter how old they were. After that, me and James started hanging out on a weekly basis, keeping in touch through messages, FaceTimes, or meeting up in person. And then one faithful day on February 23rd, 2018, we both went to carry the love at Grant Auditorium on the SU campus. Carry the Love was an event meant to U.S. campuses together and spread the word of God and the love of Jesus Christ. But for me that day, it would mean something much more. For that was the day I was born again. It was after the music at the end of the event when a guy came up and asked, "Is there anyone in this place who wants to get baptized?" Now, me being baptized early on, when I was 8, I just had a feeling that I had to get baptized again. So at the moment when he said that, I looked at James and smiled and said, "I'm ready." I didn't even know that there was going to be baptizing, and they said in the event plan. But when that moment came, the feeling just hit. I raised my hand proudly and said yes. I was one of the other 4 people that got baptized that day, in front of James, Jesus, and Jessica, Lou's daughter. They witnessed me make a life-changing decision. We walked down out of the auditorium and went to the lobby where there was a silver tank filled with ice cold water. And at 10:25, I went under, and after that, I came up a new person in the name of God. All I could feel after that was so much taken off my chest. All those years of questioning my dad finally just gave me a sign of relief that I could truly forgive my dad. I felt light, but yet so strong through God. I knew that the blood of Christ was covered. I knew that I was covered with the blood of Christ, and I was ready to carry on his will. You see, being born again isn't just something that happens quickly. You gotta seek the kingdom of God no matter what you're going through. And at a young age, that's what I did. Just like Nicodemus went up and asked Jesus, how do you be born again? And how do you enter the kingdom of God? I did the same thing by seeking help through Lou Vincigera, Mr. Procopio, and Mr. James Yu, who helped me become the man I am today, and even a stronger man in faith than I was. Even though you are born again and have carried up the cross of Christ, you still face the temptations and sins of this world. I don't know if I'll be able to escape what my dad did, but just know that with the help of God, I could be something much more other than that. You see, church is where the heart is. And at a young age, my dad told me that, and I'm very thankful for it. He always told me that one day I'll stop forcing you to come to church with me. You have to make that decision for yourself on whether or not to wake up at 7 o'clock and get ready and come to the house of God. The church is what Jesus built his legacy on and his work, and where God is truly known. The church helps, and like me or anybody else in this room, the church isn't made of people that are perfect. We're all here together because we seek the kingdom of God. And even though some of us have been baptized, you got to truly make the decision for yourself on whether you want to be born again. And through being born again, you'll be able to see the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what God has for me in the future, but I just know I'll still be coming to this church, and I'm thankful for everything you guys have done, and I'm thankful for everybody in my life.
Thank you, Nicola. As our worship service nears its end, our service to God's community begins. There are always many things happening at University Church. Let me highlight a few of those for you, which are in your bulletin. This Wednesday, May 30th, there is Christ in the City, and there is a flyer in your bulletin about that. And we're hoping that you can come down to Columbus Circle, downtown Syracuse, at 4:30. It's an open-air celebration of the presence and transforming power of Christ in the city of Syracuse. Next day after that, on May 31st at 6 p.m., we will be having our Thursday night service, hoping that you can attend that too, and we're going to have a special guest speaker from the Democratic Republic of Congo, Felician Surungu, and he's part of the Interfaith Works Spirit of America Liberty, Diversity, and Dignity Project, so we're hoping you can join us on Thursday for that. And then also we have a worship speaker also next Sunday, Tina Whitehead is going to be here, and she's going to be speaking on the witness from Palestine. She'll also be with us after the service at 1:30 p.m. in the Pentagill Center for an event that's sponsored by the Crossroads District. Once again, many other opportunities for you. When you get a moment later, please review them in your bulletin. In order to keep practicing resurrection at this time in this place, we need to keep the ship afloat, just as we've been doing for the past 150 years. If you're a visitor, please, we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. The ushers will collect the offering as the choir blesses us with song. And don't forget, as they come around, please put your yellow, which I don't have, the yellow attendance slip in the offering plate. Now let's be prepared for the offering. Thank you.
Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of dedication adapted from words by Tia Reggio. We must be seen standing together, knowing each other, feeling each other deeply and compassionately. Standing together, we are not shaken. Work done together cannot be undone. It is we who are wiser, stronger, louder. We are change. Remembering Jesus' sacrifice at the hand of a government committed to maintaining power for a few and being born again in Jesus calls us to act to make this country a place where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are real options for everyone. Please join me in singing America the Beautiful, number 696 in the pew hymnal and displayed on the screen.
We have an interactive benediction. Are you ready for this? May we, who believe in community, go forth and stand against poverty from NYC to Wilkes-Barre, Southside and Northside too. Across the world, we must demand, let justice ring. As the poor rise up, let justice ring. As we take a stand, as we proclaim liberty throughout all the land, this, we're all God's family. Let justice ring. You and me. Let justice ring. Let justice ring. Amen.